Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Whether or not this criticism of Joel is unfair, as Brett Brown said it was last time. But right now, let's go out to the guest line. Kyle Newbeck, Philly Voice, joins us right now to talk some Sixers Raptors before Game 6. What's up, Kyle?
Nothing much, Joe. Just trying to recover from all this flying back and forth and then prepare for Game 5 tomorrow. Game 6 tomorrow. I can't even keep my days straight.
Well, that's okay. It's been a kind of a wild series. You're healthy? You haven't caught what's going on around the Sixers locker room, I assume?
No, I've been loading up on vitamin C whenever I can, you know, get some orange juice in me. I've been eating some bananas, getting potassium. So hopefully I avoid whatever it is that's going around the locker room.
Yeah, and last night, whether it was what's going around or the team itself or the Raptors just asserting their will, that was ugly, Kyle. I mean, this before the series started, I thought this would go seven, and I leaned towards the Raptors because they have home court in the seventh game. But last night was disconcerting. I know blowouts happen in the postseason, but that game last night, I just expected more out of the Sixers after the way Game 4 went down, and they were just bad last night.
Yeah, it's hard to really understand it. I went back to rewatch it, and you're just watching plays happen where guys are getting beat to spots and playing passive, and I know some of it is, look, obviously – their best player was not himself. He couldn't get to the level that he needed to, and that hurts you. But the whole reason you go out and you get Jimmy Butler and Tobias Harris and also have Ben Simmons is so you can survive when one of your best players just doesn't have it on a given night. It doesn't matter if he's sick or just not playing well. Those guys should be capable of picking him up when he's having a problem. And that's sort of been the revealing thing about this series to me is – they can do that against a team like the Brooklyn Nets, but if they don't get Joel Embiid's best against Toronto, it is an uphill battle for this team to beat some of the elite teams in the league.
Kyle, do you sense any frustration among the Sixers, Embiid's teammates on the Sixers because of all of the – I mean, he's just been totally unreliable this whole postseason. It started with the knee issue, which went through the first series, then the stomach issue, and now whatever kind of virus, upper respiratory flu, whatever this is that is ailing him. They've all said the right things, that he's trying his best, but I know fans are frustrated, and I just wonder if they're frustrated with a guy that they just don't know what they're getting out of him moment to moment.
Yeah, I haven't sensed any real pushback from the team with how Joel has handled this whole process, partially because they see how sick he is. Like, when you're up close with him, you can tell that he just does not feel well. You can see it in his face. I'm sure you guys have been able to notice that anytime they've done a close-up of him on TV while they've been on the road. I think the mood in that locker room is, last night was tough, but if we can rally together and the home crowd gets behind us in Game 6, we can force a Game 7. And then even though it's historically difficult to go on the road and get a win in Game 7, you never know what might happen. Some of these playoff demons could resurface for Toronto. Maybe Joel finally gets right by then, and they're able to get that one huge performance they need out on the closeout of series. I haven't sensed that they've quit yet, and obviously tomorrow, the way they come out will be very telling to get the pulse of the team.
Kyle, you mentioned the other guys not stepping up, and the one that's getting the most flack right now is Ben Simmons, and rightfully so, because he's just almost non-existent on the offensive end, not even bad, just almost not even there. Part of this, though, Kyle, is the way they're using him, which is to put the ball in Jimmy Butler's hands more. And when Ben doesn't have the ball in his hands, he really doesn't have a role in the offense, certainly not one where he can be ultra-aggressive. Do you think that this is mostly because of the role, or do you look at Ben and say you could still do a lot more even though you're not playing the, you know, quote-unquote point guard position all the time now?
Yeah, I mean, some of it is role, Joe, but I think at this point, there's been a lot of excuse-making for Simmons from a lot of people. I would certainly include myself there. Like, I've said to people, you have to be patient with him. It's only a second year. I still believe things like that. But listen, this guy was a number one overall pick. He's been compared as a prospect to guys like LeBron James and Magic Johnson and the Greek Freak to a lesser extent. And when those are the expectations there, I don't know how he fades into the background and criticism compared to Joel Embiid. Like, they should be 1A and 1B in terms of these are the most important players in the franchise. Elton Brand has come out and said it's basically a foregone conclusion they're going to sign him to a max contract when he gets to the end of his rookie deal. If that's the case, you got to find a way to impact the game. I know he's had a very difficult assignment in Kawhi Leonard on one end, and certainly having him guard you at times on the other end will impact the game. But I don't understand it, Joe. Like, he won't attack. He's not getting to the free throw line. When he is getting to the rim and deciding to shoot, his touch isn't there. Like, he hasn't had a good series again for the second straight year in the second round. And a lot of that just stems from the fact that teams know he's an easy player to game plan for. And if you can take away the few things he does well as an attacker, there's really nothing he has that can counter that. So I put a lot of, if not all of, the blame for this just on him and the state of his game right now.
Kyle Newbeck, a Philly voice, joining us here. Kyle, this series isn't over yet, so they have at least tomorrow and then maybe Sunday to change all the narratives here. But assuming that they don't come back and don't win this series and the odds are stacked against them, they have major decisions to make here coming up in the offseason. And I feel like in a vacuum, Jimmy Butler's play in the postseason has convinced this city he deserves the max and he should come back. But I look at it more in the context of the team. Like, yeah, you could max him and you could say he's worth that. But does it make sense for this team? And I'll bring up Ben, because I feel like when the ball's in Jimmy's hands, Ben is so marginalized. So if you're going to have Ben Simmons and still build around Ben, how do you bring Jimmy? I don't know how this team works if they max Jimmy and Ben is still playing this weird role next year.
I think, Joe, if you go into the summer expecting to bring Jimmy back specifically, and I think it would be hard to kind of look at what he's done in the postseason and the way that him and Joel Embiid specifically have, I guess, grown in their relationship and their on-court partnership. It'd be hard to go into the summer and say, yeah, you know what, we're just happy to let him walk elsewhere. But to your point, I think if they're going to move forward and have Jimmy, Joel and Ben as three of the big pieces, I guess the hope would be over time it's going to become easier. Over time these guys are going to learn to play with one another. Like, I know it's gotten lost because they had a huge performance in game three and everyone was like, well, all the chemistry stuff sort of goes out the window. But we really haven't seen this team tested by different strategies, different looks the teams throw at them, even in a regular season setting. Like, they're very much trying to figure out how to best play with one another, how to develop the skills to play with one another on top of that on the fly. So I think with a full off season to say, look, I know these are the guys I'm going to be playing with next year. It's a long-term partnership. We're going to be together for a while. We can get in the gym together if they see fit. Like, those are things that, I know that's not the sexy angle here, but that's really where this team is going to get better, is in the off season when they have time to just work on individual skills, and then over the course of next season when they can simply bond together and play together more than they've been able to this year.
How much of this is on Brett, Kyle, to get them to do that and to get the most out of it? I actually think he's made some good adjustments in this series game to game. And the idea of taking the ball out of Ben's hand to put it in Jimmy's, I think is the best thing for this team right now, even if it does create other problems. So I like some of the things Brett has done. How much of this is on Brett and how much do you think is just on these players to figure it out on their own?
I don't think there's a whole lot of responsibility on Brett because the question is, how does Ben adapt his game to fit alongside Butler and Embiid specifically, because I think it's quite clear, Joe, that Joel Embiid is the best player on this team and he's not going anywhere. So if you're going to share the floor with him, it's on you. It's on Joel to an extent too, to try to go to his other teammates and work together. But we've already seen other guys do that. Like Jimmy Butler, that pick and roll game earlier in the year that everyone wanted them to run so much did not look good early on. But I think you've seen in this series and in the Brooklyn one that those guys have some legitimate chemistry and that eventually those two are going to get there. I think even away from the court, all the stuff that you've seen, like Jimmy Butler coming out to the podium last night when he wasn't obligated to just because he wanted to give his franchise player a shoulder to lean on in a tough moment. Like, that stuff matters. And that's not something that I think is like a coaching thing. That's just a player knowing that he needs to step up and do that. So a lot of this is just Ben Simmons is going to have to go into this offseason and acknowledge, look, I've pretty much failed as an offensive threat on a big stage two seasons in a row. I had the talent to get better, and now I need to actually use that talent and get there. So I think this is going to be a very telling summer, and next year will be a very telling year for how much Ben Simmons actually wants to be great and wants to be an integral part of this team.
Last one for you, Colin. It's a two-parter here. I believe the next 3 days, 4 days, will determine the Sixers' future in this. If they win this series now somehow, the idea of them not bringing the band back together and trying to win next year is hard to believe. And also, if they get blown out tomorrow night, there possibly could be changes. But I also think that there should be bigger picture thinking here for Elton Brand, for the ownership. They should know by now if Brett Brenner's their guy. They should know by now what they really think of Jimmy, and one game or two games shouldn't change that. So my question for you is, do you think the outcome tomorrow night, whether they get blown out or win, get it to game seven, will impact the major decisions they have to come? Or do you think the evidence is already there for them to go one way or the other?
I don't think tomorrow's impact alone or tomorrow's game alone should impact what they're doing. And with the Brett Brown point specifically, if they decide that they're moving on from Brett simply because they lose tomorrow or in game seven and their arbitrary barriers, they didn't get to the conference finals, that to me is going to speak volumes about that front office and ownership group. Because I think, Joe, you already brought it up earlier, we've seen Brett make adjustments that have helped the Sixers and put them in position to win games in this series. And that was the big question coming into these playoffs. It wasn't that Brett has a reputation as a player's coach, and that's all well and good. He has them play a good brand of basketball, but people wanted to see him step up when the time came. And I think he's shown on multiple occasions that he's capable of doing that. And him having a player on his team that can't shoot threes and is supposed to be the point guard, and that being a problem, that's not a Brett Brown problem. That's an individual problem. So that's step one. Step two, as for the free agents, like I think you've already seen enough from Jimmy Butler, and they will know enough about Jimmy Butler behind the scenes that it shouldn't be that hard to decide whether you want him on your team, and ditto with Tobias Harris. So personally, I think if they're making any decisions just strictly based on whatever happens tomorrow and possibly Sunday if it goes to Game 7, that would not be a good look for the organization. And I hope that they are more forward-thinking and big-picture minded than that.
Yeah, it's one thing if we do that on WIP. It's another thing if the front office does it for the Sixers. Kyle, I always appreciate a few minutes. I'll be reading at Philly Voice, and enjoy tomorrow night. It should be at least an interesting atmosphere at the Wells Fargo Center.
All right, thanks, Joe. Anytime.
There he goes. Kyle Newbeck.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.